Okay, Brad, hi, how are you doing there?
Hey there, Ted. I'm doing just great out here in California, and your guests in Europe. That's really cool to be bi-coastal in such a sense.
Welcome in Vienna.
Welcome. Hi, Fred.
Yeah.
I love Vienna, beautiful city.
Wonderful.
Great.
You've been
Great. Well,
here
let me give a
before.
short intro to Brad. He's an amazing guy.
Please slow, Ted. Please
I'm sorry. Okay.
slow.
Langsam. I know. Langsam. Okay. I'm jumping ahead of myself today. I'm in a good mood and I'm
It's
talking.
okay. It's okay.
Okay.
So unser nächster Gast ist Brad Olsen und wir werden ihn mal kurz vorstellen. Okay?
Okay. Let me read everything Brad's done. And I'll be done in about 3 hours. And then Brad won't be able to say anything.
Okay.
No, I'll read what he's done briefly. He's the author of 9 books,
Er ist der Autor von 9 Büchern.
including Modern Esoteric.
Unter anderem dieses Buch der modernen Esoterik.
Esoteric. And he's the award-winning author, public speaker, radio show host of the Esoteric Circle.
Er ist Autor und auch Radio.
I'm sorry, I'm talking radio shows of the Esoteric Circle.
Er ist beim Radioshow Esoterische, ja,
Circle.
Esoteric Circle. I'm sorry, I'll keep it short. He's been in contact in the desert.
Er war im Kontakt mit Wood.
Many, many dozens of radio shows, including Coast to Coast.
Ah, okay. Also viele Radio, also in vielen Radios schon dabei.
And with Jimmy Church, Jimmy's a great guy.
Zum Beispiel Jimmy Church.
And television shows, including Ancient Aliens.
Auch im TV sozusagen, da geht es um Aliens.
I'm paraphrasing this, so I don't overload Saskia.
Ja, I have some problems with the connection.
Okay, yeah. America on Earth.
Amerika auf der Erde.
And Mysteries of the Outdoors.
Ah, Mysterien.
So he's also a founder of the co-founder producer of the How Weird Street Fair in San Francisco.
Er ist auch ein Gründer. Ja.
And his website is bradolsen.com. That's B as in boy, RADOLSEN.com.
Seine Website ist bradolsen.com, alles zusammengeschrieben. Auch das werden wir nochmal mit bekannt geben. Und dort nochmal bitte mit nachlesen, was er alles gemacht hat. Die Verbindung ist sehr schlecht. Ich höre sehr schlecht jetzt.
Okay. Well, Brad, if you don't mind me saying this, you're a little bit like Star Trek. You go into places where no one has gone before. And or if people have, you go places where they don't go. So I'll let you translate.
Brad, du gehst ja viel an Orte, wo Menschen normalerweise nicht hingehen.
So there's about 50 million topics we could discuss today, but what would you like to talk about?
Es gäbe tausend von Themen, worüber wir sprechen können, aber worüber möchtest du heute sprechen, Brad?
Well, I guess you're referring to my trip to Antarctica last year that very, very few people get to experience. In fact, you can't even go there this year because of COVID.
Also geht davon aus, dass es wohl um den Trip nach zur Antarktik ging letzten Jahres, worüber Ted vielleicht gern sprechen möchte.
In fact, I was going down there in January and February last year with a crew from Poland, from Gdansk, Poland. There were 11 Poles and 3 Americans on a sailboat to Antarctica.
Wow.
Also mit 11 Polen und 3 Amerikanern letztes Jahr, Januar, Februar, zur Antarktis gereist.
Well, tell us about it. That must have been fascinating.
Well, as far as I know, I'm the first researcher in this field that's made a trip down there to specifically try to seek out some of these large claims that we've heard, such as UFOs under the ice or antediluvian civilizations or anything else of a paranormal sort. And try as I might, Antarctica is a very big continent. I only went to a very small part of it, which is about where all the tourists go to anyways, and didn't go inland where many of these features are reported to be. But I got some information.
Also Ted hat ihn gefragt, wie es denn war und ja, er ist eben da hingereist, um zu schauen, wo sind denn da die UFOs oder die antiken Stätten, die da begraben sein sollen oder sich befinden sollen. Okay.
Great. Well, tell us some more. What did you see anything unusual down there, Brad, or talk to people who'd seen unusual things down there?
Also hat er denn da was entdeckt? Hat er was sehen können? Hat er mit Menschen sprechen können, die da vielleicht auch schon waren oder was entdeckt haben? Aber er ist einer der ersten sozusagen, die dahin gereist sind. Jetzt bin ich gespannt. Okay.
Yeah, I sure did. I went to 6 different research bases, and every time we went ashore, I asked if they knew anything about these. Supposedly there are 3, not just one, but 3 very, very large UFOs under the ice that are nicknamed by the military Nina, Pinta, and Santa Maria, the name of Columbus's 3 ships.
Wow.
And,
also er hat 3 UFOs, also er war an verschiedenen Stationen, wo er mit den Menschen gesprochen hat, die dort eben sozusagen als Forscher unterwegs sind. Und er hat 3 UFOs wohl gesehen mit den Namen. Can you repeat the name again of this UFOs?
Nina, Pinta and Santa Maria.
Ah, perfekt. Okay.
Yeah. Same as Christopher Columbus' original 3 ships to the New World.
Das waren die 3 Schiffe von Christopher Columbus, genau.
And I do a presentation on Antarctica, and I show them one of them, which I think could very well be, and it's from Google Earth, which shows some kind of excavation going on at this very, very large craft. And some remote viewers from the Farsight Institute remote viewed this particular location and said that it's some kind of, it's not natural formation. It's some kind of old, very old machine, very old ship.
Mm-hmm. Also es gibt wohl, auch über Google Earth kann man das sehen, dass man da Ausgrabungen macht an so einem dieser Schiffe und er selber macht Präsentationen darüber, Brad, über diese Ausgrabung und was er da gesehen hat, okay, aber es sind wohl sehr alte Schiffe. Oder dieses Schiff, was man da ausgibt, ist schon sehr alt.
Mhm. So, what your listeners will probably find interesting in Austria is that it was on the piece of land in Antarctica that was originally claimed by the Germans during their New Schwabenland expeditions down there in the 1930s. Mm-hmm. And I think they knew of this location because it is now a base called Konen, K-O-N-H-E-N, and it remains a...
Arnold Schwarzenegger vielleicht, mit Konen. Okay, die Verbindung ist gerade schwach. Wir haben gerade einen kurzen Aussetzer gehabt. Bei ihr auch? Oder ist bei euch gelaufen?
Es ist schlechte Verbindung. Ich habe Probleme zu verstehen, aber ich kann kurz übersetzen.
Ja, bitte.
Also das ist dieses Gebiet, wo dieses Schiff ist, wurde 1930 von den Deutschen sozusagen beschlagnahmt, weil man dort vermutet, oder ich denke, die wussten von diesem Schiff. Und das ist heute noch sozusagen, until today it's German territory or...
Well, they have created what's known as the Antarctica Treaty, which took effect in 1961. So no single country can lay claim, but countries that have had bases in certain locations were able to retain those bases. And that's what they still have on this site is a base where this massive machine is under the ice.
Okay. Man hat dort sozusagen Basen, also auch Deutschland hat dort eine Basis. Und ja, heute ist sozusagen das Ganze ja, es gehört ja nicht wirklich irgendjemandem, glaube ich, dieses Gebiet. Und ja, okay, so wie ich es jetzt richtig verstanden habe.
Also da darf aber nicht jeder hinfahren. Wieso durfte gerade Brad hinfahren, oder?
Not everyone can go there. Why could you visit this place or places?
Well, I did not visit this place. This is far inland. And I was just going to say next that it's very difficult and very expensive to travel inland in the continent. Okay. I'm just on a sailboat on the northern tip of the Palmer Peninsula and some of the islands surrounding. But I have not been to this location. If I were ever given an opportunity to go, say, with a film crew, I would love to go to this location.
Okay. Also Brad selber war nicht dort an dem Schiff, das zu weit im Inland ist und man gar nicht dahin kommt. Es wäre viel zu teuer. Er ist mit seinem Segelboot sozusagen an bestimmten Inseln gewesen, aber aufs Land selber ist er gar nicht gekommen.
Brad, I've been told, I'll keep these sentences short, my friend. I've been told that these ships in Antarctica are actually from the planet of Marduk that crashed there maybe 500,000 years ago after Marduk was destroyed by the reptilians. So they were, in effect, escaping, trying to establish a new colony on Earth.
Okay, also Ted fragt gerade, ob diese Schiffe, er hat die Information, diese Schiffe, die da liegen, sind wohl von Marduk, der zerstört wurde von den Reptilianern, 500 million years ago?
No, 500,000 years ago, half a million.
Vor 500,000 Jahren, yeah. Sozusagen. Yeah.
Before I was born, yeah.
Yes, Ted, I've heard that as well. I think that is the leading theory where these craft came from.
Right.
And it certainly begs the question, who are the pilots and the passengers on these craft?
Right.
And right. Since these ships are so big, not only in size like a mothership would be, but also the volume for how high the ceilings are would suggest that the original inhabitants may be what we know of as the giants, these elongated skulls with very large bodies, perhaps the Anunnaki or some other type of ET being.
Mm-hmm. Also, Brad hat die ähnliche Information, woher die Schiffe eben stammen könnten. Und die Frage ist ja eben, was ist mit den Insassen passiert? Wer waren diese Insassen? Und aufgrund der Höhe oder der Ausmaße dieser Schiffe kann man vermuten, dass es also dort um diese Giganten ging, um die Anunnaki, die ja auch auf die Erde dann kamen und hier waren. Vielleicht waren sie ja sogar auf diesen Schiffen, mit diesen Schiffen dann hierher gekommen.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
So what's also interesting on this trip to Antarctica before and after, I was in South America for several months. And while I was there, we were examining the megalithic buildings in Peru and Bolivia and also finding quite a bit of evidence for these giants. Down in South America, they have a problem putting these very, very large cranium skulls on display. They actually take pride in this being preserved. When you look at these skulls, they're not human. They don't have the suture down the center like our human skulls do, and they're 30% larger capacity. So they're very human-like, but they're not quite human.
Oh, you mean at Paracas, the museum at Paracas?
That's correct, yeah. Okay.
I'll let Saskia translate.
Mhm. Also bevor er sozusagen in die Antarktis gereist ist, war Brad in Südamerika und auch dort hat man viel gefunden bezüglich dieser Giganten, die es hier gegeben hat, unter anderem eben Schädel, die wesentlich größer sind als unsere Köpfe. Sie sind uns Menschen ähnlich, aber eben auch nicht. Und ja, okay. And you have seen one of these skulls, actually, there?
I have, in fact, yeah. And I met the archaeologist who had uncut it in the Sacred Valley, which is only about 30 or 40 kilometers from Cuzco, which was the ancient capital of the Incan. Mm-hmm. And in that ancient capital, the Incan people told the Spanish conquistadors, we didn't build it. We just came, thought it was pretty good, and we decided to stay and build on top of it. So there is a new thinking in South America that these very old megalithic buildings are much older than the Incan and could have been made by this long-lost race of giants.
Sure.
You mean Machu Picchu wasn't built by the Incas?
Machu Picchu, the Valley, Ollantaytambo, Cuzco, which is where Sacsayhuaman is, this massive megalithic fort above the city of Cuzco at 13,000 feet elevation. It's very high up.
Right.
And all the surrounding area is the largest concentration of megalithic.
Okay. Also es ging jetzt kurz darum, auch diese ganzen antiken Städten, gerade auch in Südamerika, unter anderem Peru, Machu Picchu, soll wohl so gewesen sein, dass die Inkas das nicht erbaut haben. Es war lange vor den Inkas schon da. Und die Frage ist, wer hat es denn dort gebaut? Wer hat es dahingestellt?
I've been there and it's an amazing place, Ollantaytambo, and these rocks are just huge. I mean, I can't figure out how any humans could have ever, managed to move them in the place. It's truly amazing. You're right. It is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's großartig. Also auch Ted war dort. Er war in dem Ort. What is the name of this place with these huge stones?
Ollantaytambo.
Ollantaytambo.
Ah, okay. Also und diese Steine dort sind so gigantisch, die können Menschen da gar nicht hingelegt haben. Auch hier die Frage, wie sind sie da hingekommen? Ich glaube, da gibt es auch viele Bilder dazu, die man sich anschauen kann im Internet.
I'm going back there in January and also in March, as long as I can get there with COVID. But anyway, my plans are to go back there again this year. So.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh, lucky you.
Brad, do you want to come with me?
Maybe, if we can get in.
Okay. All right, I'll send you the information. It'd be fun. I think you'd have a out of this world time.
It should be said that anybody who is going to Machu Picchu, they go through Ollantaytambo to catch the train to go to Machu Picchu. So it's kind of like a 2-for-1.
Yeah.
If you're going to go to Machu Picchu, you're also going to this other site called Ollantaytambo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah, that temple.
Mm-hmm. Have you? Yeah, it's an amazing place. Have you been to Amaramuro, the Stargate at the south end of Lake Titicaca?
Die Frage ist,
yeah, I did go there as well. In fact, I think it was actually 2 years ago today. We were there as
really?
We were making
really?
Our way around Lake Titicaca.
I'll let Saskia translate, and then I'll tell you a story.
But I need this background information. What Stargate? Where, Ted?
Amaramuro. It's a Stargate at the south end of Lake Titicaca.
Also am Südende vom Titicaca-See gibt es ein Sternentor. What's the name of this Stargate?
It's called Amaramuro. I'm probably mispronouncing it, but Amaramuro.
Amaramuro?
Uh-huh. If you want to wait an hour, I'll go look it up on the web and get back to you.
Yeah, okay.
Just kidding. That's what I know. Anyway, when we were there, Brad, we heard a chorus. We got out of our taxi and we walked up to the cliff face of Amaramuro, and we heard these children singing and young adults.
Als Ted dort war, hat Kinder singen hören.
Mm-hmm. And we were there about 20 minutes when we realized they weren't in this dimension.
Ah.
They were from Agartha in the fourth dimension. And they were singing a welcoming song for us coming to this Stargate.
Mm-hmm. Also die sangen da, das waren aus der vierten Dimension und das haben sozusagen ein Willkommenslied gesungen für...
And,
Universität und die Gruppe.
And it's a rock cliff face. And one of us, some of us, we put our hands on the rock and it started turning to jello. I kid you not.
Jello means to...
Jello, it's like not hard, it's soft. You could press into it. The rock became soft.
Aha, also der, sie haben also dann ihre Hände dahin gelegt und dieser, auf so einem Gestein und dieses Gestein wurde etwas weicher tatsächlich.
Yeah. Mhm. Jello is a wonder food discovered in the 20th century after World War II that along with Spam sets America apart from all other countries in the world. We discovered Spam and Jello in the 50s.
Aha. Okay, I leave it there. Okay.
And then there was one guy on our trip. He looked at the rock and he could see the city of Agartha through the rock. He could see it right in there.
Ah, okay. Und einer konnte durch dieses Gebirge, durch dieses Stargate, was eben ein Gestein war, durchschauen. Aha.
During that same, same evening.
There are reports of people going missing there.
Really?
It's even in the Lonely Planet book that people are missing her. It's in these reports that backpackers would go and some would be hiking around the area because there's very interesting rock formations near there. They'd come back, they look friendly, and they're totally gone and never to return. There's countless stories of people going missing around that site. And it's also a rumored home of a very benevolent and advanced ET race called the Great White Brotherhood, which lives you look like Titicaca, and it's a very paranormal hotspot for UFO activity at the lake.
I'll let Saskia translate and I'll give you the story.
Wow, das ist ein Ort, an dem unheimlich, also sehr, sehr viele Menschen verschwunden sind auf unerklärliche Art und Weise, besonders Bergsteiger, da dort die Region wohl sehr beliebt ist, auch gerade die Bergformationen sehr herausfordernd sind für Bergsteiger. Und dort soll wohl eine wohlwollende E.T.-Rasse leben unter dem Namen die Weißen Hüte, the White Hats. Und ist wahnsinnig sehr interessant. Es finden dort sehr viele paranormale Dinge statt. Passieren dort sehr schön. Also am Titicacasee am Südende, wenn ich es richtig verstanden habe.
When we were there too, two condors flew overhead, suddenly appeared out of nowhere. It was getting dark. And a Pleiadian mothership appeared up in the sky. We could see, I'm in telepathic communication with them and they were there to protect us.
Und als Teto war, hat er ein pleiadisches Mutterschiff auch gesehen. Er konnte dort Verbindung herstellen und wurde von dem auch beschützt.
And I think what happens, Brad, it's a little bit like going into the hollow earth. People get invited in there and they like it so much they don't come back. So.
Und so ein bisschen wie wenn man zur Innererde reist oder wenn man die Einladung erhält und einmal dort ist, dann möchte man nicht mehr zurück und kommt auch
That's
nicht mehr.
That's my theory anyway.
So. Theorie von
And you're Ted. Sticking with it.
But it's a beautiful place. Have you been to Tiwaku, I believe, in Bolivia? It's just over the border from Lake Titicaca. Tiwanaku, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Tiwanaku and Puma Punku, which are both widely regarded by all historians and archaeologists to be pre-Incan. And they, too, have features about them that are very unique. The stonework at Puma Punku, which is still being debated how it was even built. It's so precise and exact. In some cuts and the round drill holes, showing that there was some kind of high technology employed in the building of some of these megaliths in South America.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Also die Frage war jetzt nochmal, ob auch Bolivien und anderen bekannten historischen Städten in Südamerika, wo man oft erzählt bekommt, dass es doch von den Inkas erbaut wurde, was aber eindeutig darauf hinweist, es können nicht die Inkas nur gewesen oder die Inkas gewesen sein, denn hier war Technologie, musste hier am Werk gewesen sein, die hochtechnologisch war, um das zu bauen.
For the past couple of months, I was contacted by a shaman from Tiahuanaco in that area, Bolivia.
Ted kontaktiert von einem Schamanen.
And she's been sharing all kinds of interesting stuff with me.
Und sie teilt mit ihm sehr wichtige Informationen.
Yeah, I guess she goes into the hollow earth quite a bit from there. She said there's all kinds of passages that most people don't know about, but she does know where they are. So.
Und sie kennt diese ganzen Wege auch zur Innererde, viele wissen darum gar nicht.
And when I go back next year, we'll be meeting up with her. So.
Und wenn Ted nächstes Jahr zurückreist, dann wird er sie dort treffen.
But I will come back.
Okay. Please.
General MacArthur, I turn.
Yeah, right. Right, right. So, you know the stories about Mount Shasta, how people, there was a guy, what was his name? Wedgeworth? He had discovered a portal into the hollow earth in
1898. 1898 hat ein Mann den Eingang entdeckt zur Innererde. What was the name of this person who discovered?
I believe Wedgeworth, but I'm not sure. I can't remember his name.
Okay.
So he had gone in, and then
that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Did he find the tunnel system?
He did.
Or was he more in the inner earth?
He was in the inner earth, and he really liked it. And he decided to come out and tell the public about it. And there were newspaper articles published about his journey.
Mm-hmm. Und ist also nach Innererde gereist, hat aber sich entschieden, zurückzugehen auf die Erde und der Öffentlichkeit davon zu erzählen. Und es wurde tatsächlich auch in den Zeitungen darüber berichtet. Es gibt Artikel darüber.
But all his friends around Mount Shasta thought he was nuts.
Aber jeder dachte natürlich, er ist verrückt.
So he just said, fine. He went back into the hollow earth and he hasn't come out since.
Und er sagte, es ist okay und er ging zurück.
Would you want to come out, Ted? I think we'll probably like her a little better, especially this.
Just for the radio show.
Just do the radio show. But we'll...
Maybe we have a good connection from hollow earth.
Hollow Earth, yeah, a good connection. Actually, about a year ago, a little more than a year ago, I was at the falls. It's called Hedge Creek Falls, where he went in a place called Dunsmuir, California.
Oh, okay.
And he did appear to one of the members of my group briefly. Uh-huh. And the message he gave is that he's just fine. He decided just to stay in there. He comes out every once in a while, he says. He doesn't like to come to third density. He likes it better in the fifth, inside the planet.
That's the person from 1898.
1898, yeah. He hasn't aged at all.
Ah, okay. Also Ted hat diesen Menschen ab und zu schon getroffen nochmal. Und er kommt wohl ab und zu mal noch auf die Erdoberfläche, aber generell bleibt er in der Erde. Und er ist auch nicht älter geworden. Also das ist dieser Mann eben, der 1998 sozusagen den Eingang entdeckte.
He said everyone just lives and he has no bills. And
jeder lebt.
Did you say the name of the falls were?
Yeah, Hedge Creek Falls.
Hedge Creek Wasserfälle. Where in California?
Falls. Okay. Bring up a picture.
I'll send you the location, Brad. It's 8 miles south of Mount Shasta.
Is this it?
If you could bring it up to the camera, Brad, if you could bring it up higher. Yes, that's it. That's the place.
Yeah. I went there, and it's amazing. So he found entrance at these falls, right?
Right.
It's in Dunsmuir, right outside of Dunsmuir. Yeah, there was a big cave there, and
it's a big cave.
Some people were doing.
Yeah. Now, what? I don't know.
I spoke at a conference there.
Okay, great. Great. Brad, I want to tell you.
Last August.
I'm sorry?
I was speaking at a conference at Mount Shasta, and this fella showed up, the Crystal Skull from Belize, the Mitchell Hedges Crystal Skull, came to our conference. That was quite a pleasure to have the experience with the Crystal Skull. And I have to say, it's got some pretty unusual properties with it. We each got a chance to interact with the Crystal Skull. And when it was originally used by the Mayans, they would use light, which can come up through the Crystal Skull and then come out through the eyeballs. This particular one has a detachable jaw, and it was said that in rituals, the skull would start to talk. There are so many things about it. They said, take pictures, take a lot of pictures of it, and you'll see different colors and sometimes even different shapes and figures, such as the Crystal Skull itself will reflect back, or in this shot, looks like stars in the universe. So many things are really bizarre, and they don't even know how these crystal skulls were made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure.
Also Brad war auch schon an diesen Wasserfällen, er hat dort auch eine Konferenz, an der Konferenz teilgenommen, und dort wurde dieser Kristallschädel gezeigt, und er soll wohl sehr mächtig sein. Die Mayas haben ihn genutzt, um das Licht dadurch zu leiten, und das kam dann durch die Augenhöhle nach außen. Und man kann auch sehen, dass dieser Schädel sich verändert. Also wenn man da viele Bilder von macht und sich die Bilder dann im Nachhinein mal anschaut, dann sind andere Farben, andere Formen, je nachdem. Also ganz spannend. Man weiß bis heute nicht, wie die eigentlich entstanden sind.
I was at the Hedge Creek Falls in September of this year, a few months ago.
Ted war bei den Hedge Creek Falls im September.
And in the wisdom of the local government there, they had filled in the cave completely with a whole bunch of rocks and cement.
Und die haben diese Höhle komplett zugemacht, die als Eingang gilt, mit Zement und Steinen.
As if they were going to stop people from going into the hollow earth, because that is a portal.
Als würde das die Leute davon okay. abhalten, in die Innererde zu gehen, denn das ist ein Portal.
Mhm. Yeah. So,
well, we were at the conference. There was going to be someone who had just gone in to the city called Talos, and he was going to speak at the conference. It was right around the time with all the fires in California, and he declined to come. But I've since watched his video about how he was invited by one of the Talosians to come into the mountain. And I know the location, which is on the slopes of Mount Shasta, near the Shastina crater. So if you know that area, Ted, we're gonna mount a expedition next summer and go hike up there and see if we can get invited into Talos.
I was in Talos just yesterday.
Oh, how was it? Yeah.
There's a waterfall there I like to go to and swim all day. It's a nice place to hang out. the coffee is especially good there, so.
Es ging halt darum, dass Brad nochmal erzählt hat, auf der Konferenz damals war jemand dabei, der auch nach Talos reist. Und er kennt jetzt, weiß, wo der Eingang ist bei Mount Shasta, und jetzt war ihm die Frage, ob Ted mitkommt, aber Ted war
But the best views of Mother Earth is from my friend's Pleiadian mothership aboard with Pleiadian Admiral Halosaurus. I was there yesterday as well. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, you want to go up there sometime? I'll bring you aboard.
Sure.
Okay. How about tomorrow, the next day? This week, I'll give you a call.
Sounds good.
All right. Good. Bring your camera. You can take pictures. So
yeah, I go tomorrow, Fred.
Oh yeah, Saskia's going
maybe
tomorrow.
We'll meet up there.
Yeah, she's going tomorrow. So anyway, they have healing chambers in both Talos and also aboard the Pleiadian mothership, where you can go in and sit, lay down, And you're bathed in this golden light to heal whatever spiritual or physical condition you may have. I had dental surgery done on my teeth back in October, over 20 hours worth of dental surgery. They did like 20 years worth of dental work on my teeth in 1 week. And I was in a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm. Wir sind jetzt noch mal kurz von Telos zum Schiff von Admiral Hellesaurus gekommen. Das Ted eben dort auch gestern war. Die Frage war, ob Brad vielleicht mal Lust hat, mit hochzukommen. Und Ted erzählt gerade, dass eben dort die Heilkammern sind, auch wie auch in Telos. Man dort mit goldenem Licht geheilt wird. Und er hatte ja diese Zahn-OP und er wurde dort innerhalb eines Tages dann geheilt.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I had excellent dentists in Mexico. They're really good there. But they recommended bottles of tequila and aspirin. And after, you know, 6 bottles of tequila and about 4 cases of aspirin, I still had pain. So that's when I went in aboard the ship and I got much better then. So.
Okay. Nice.
You can buy excellent bottles of tequila for only $5 a quart in Mexico. Just thought I'd let you know, in case.
No, not for me.
But it's, you know, it's full of vitamins and minerals and recommended by most doctors. Very healthy for you.
Yeah, of course.
So, anyway.
Ja, wir haben noch so 5-6 Minuten übrig vor dem Ende unserer Show, vor unserer Sendezeit jetzt. Und ja, das war ein netter Gebläuschchen zwischen Ted Ma und Brad Olsen. Und ja, Brad, schreibst du auch in deinen Büchern über diese Themen alles nieder?
Brad, do you write about
deine Erfahrungen?
About these topics? What we have been talking about?
About what again?
Yeah, all these journeys you're talking about.
Your
journeys,
yeah.
So,
I do actually. I will have new information about the megalithic buildings, about the giants, about Antarctica, the black goo, which we haven't even talked about, is in my next book, which is just shipping from the printer today.
Okay.
It's called Beyond Esoteric: Escaping Prison Planet.
Hey, congratulations.
It's my, third and final in the esoteric
series.
Wow, nice. Ted has the other two.
Yeah, we got the other two here. They're a fascinating read. I urge everybody to get a copy of Brad's books. Brad, could you give out your website again, or maybe a telephone number people could call you at 3 or 4 in the morning to ask for information?
Sure. My website is cccpublishing.com. That's 3 letters C's and publishing, 1 word.com. And there you can see all of the books. I'm working right now on the website to get the new Beyond Esoteric book on the website. I have a product page, but I just haven't linked it to the homepage yet. Or bradolson.com is the website. That's a bit about what I'm up to and some of the other projects I work on besides book writing.
Mm-hmm. And Olson is spelled with an E, so it's Brad and then O-L-S-E-N.
That's correct.
Not O-N. Common mistake. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Brad, you're an incredibly great author, and I love your research and everything. And we've got a couple of minutes left, and I wanted you to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Sure. Well, just that... there's a lot of mysteries in the world, as I'm sure you know, and the things that you talk about on your show, Ted, are very much the topics that I write about in my esoteric series of books. Mm-hmm. And I'll be on the video conference called Saturday Night Alive this Saturday, talking about Earth mysteries. And I'll also be on Coast to Coast AM on December 19th as the first guest in support of my new book, Beyond Esoteric. So
great.
Just starting the process of getting on interviews. You kind of caught me on the early side, Ted, right before the book came out, but it is done and it is shipping from the printer. So keep an eye on cccpublishing.com to order a copy. Of course, it's on Amazon already, but going to get it out to bookstores around the world and in Europe too. Of course, you can get the ebook version, and that will translate over to overseas right away. Mm-hmm. And just getting this book done and quite excited about the outcome and having it get out there in the wide world right now, because it covers a lot of things that are happening in the world today.
Well, you're an incredibly talented writer. You always write about some fascinating things. And I feel so honored to have you on the show today, Brad. I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you all very much.
This is the last minute. Is it okay for you to stop it here, the radio show?
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. So that's fine.
Okay, wonderful. It was very interesting. We had about Antarctica, and I have prepared the song Antarctica from Vangelis. Do you know it?
Okay. We won't get shut down by Facebook, will we, if you play it?
Yes, I will. I will disconnect it from your Facebook connection, and I just will play it on the radio. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'll get off Facebook right now. I'll stop the live stream. It's been stopped.
Okay. Super.
Go ahead, my friend.
So good. This is. I love Vangelis. I don't know if how do you like him, but he is a wonderful musician.
Wonderful. By the way, I want to thank everyone so much for listening today. Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program, and if you'd like to support us, please go to our website at outofthisworldradio.net. And Brad and Saskia and Gerhard, thank you so much for coming on the show today, for Saskia for translating, Brad for coming on, and I'm so happy you came on, and glad you got a new book coming on, and Gerhard, for all your wonderful work. So go ahead, Gerhard, and play your song.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay.
Alles Gute, alles Liebe. Ciao.
Dankeschön.
Hey, Dankeschön. Let's talk in a minute. Okay, I'm going to keep the Zoom link going, and then I'll stop the recording after the show is done.
Okay. Ja, und diese Sendung kann man nachhören. Einfach auf Google eingeben, Ted Marr, Planet Soul, und dann kommt auch diese Show wieder zum Nachhören, wie alle anderen auch, die wir in der Senderei haben. Ich wünsche euch noch einen schönen Abend. Ich verabschiede mich. Gerhard Pellegrini am Mikrofon für Radio Soul, international hier in Vienna, in Wien. Und wir kappen jetzt die Leitungen nach Amerika, nach Dresden, und sage Tschüss und Baba.